Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. The Juneau Assembly voted on Monday to oppose part of the City of Hoonah's plan to create Alaska's 20th organized borough. The new borough would take in more than 10,000 square miles of land and water, including Glacier Bay, Chickagoff Island, and more. But a small part of the proposed borough overlaps with territory that the city and borough of Juneau once made an effort to annex. As KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, Juneau Assembly members were split on whether to advocate for the land to remain unorganized or to let it fall under the new borough.
The Mansfield Peninsula and Horse and Colt Islands are small pieces of land at the northern tip of Admiralty Island near Juneau. They're lightly populated with just a few homes and cabins. Juneau once explored annexing the area, but dropped the effort in 2019. Now, those parcels are part of a much larger area that the city of Hoonah hopes to include in a new borough that would include the lands traditionally used by the Hoonah-Tlingit clans, a plan that's seen several versions over the last 30 years. On Monday night, the Juneau Assembly voted 5-3 to formally oppose the part of Hoonah's plans that includes the peninsula and the islands. Juneau Mayor Beth Weldon says she's not interested in renewing the effort to annex the area, but she also doesn't want to see it become part of a new borough.
I just think that the ties to Juneau are much stronger for a variety of reasons than the ties to Hoonah.
The Hoonah Borough petition, pronounced like Hoonah but with a slightly guttural H, would form Alaska's 20th borough. That would likely mean the Hoonah School District would get more state funding, and it would also allow the borough to implement a 1% seasonal sales tax during the summer cruise season. Right now, the Mansfield Peninsula and the two islands are not part of an organized borough, which means residents are not subject to any local government regulations or taxes. Juneau's discussions in 2019 about annexing the area ultimately fizzled out, but they hinged on the idea that the area has strong economic and cultural ties to Juneau. Assemblymember Michelle Bonnet-Hale says she supports the partial opposition of the plan because it would allow a future assembly to decide if Juneau wants to annex it.
If we don't file this, we lose the opportunity to petition in the future. So this land then goes to the Hoonah Borough if the Boundary Commission agrees.
Assemblymember Alicia Huskandes voted to not oppose Hoonah annexing the area. She said there's compelling reasons to have the land under Juneau's jurisdiction, but not much to gain by keeping it unorganized.
It's not adding it to the Juneau borough. We're just saying, hey, don't put it in Hoonah, but also just leave it unorganized. I think Juneau is fine as it is, and I don't think we need to make this comment.
Assemblymember Wahal Gadok Barbara Blake also voted to not oppose the annexation. She said she spoke with Alaska Native leaders in Juneau who supported Hoonah annexing the land. In the end, the Assembly's formal opposition is only for that specific portion of the land in the Hoonah annexation plan, but not the overall plan for a new borough. That would mean if the State Local Boundary Commission agrees with Juneau's Assembly petition, it would keep the peninsula and islands in an unorganized borough for now. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
Tribes near Ketchikan submitted evidence last month to the Canadian and British Columbian governments that they hope will give them a voice in transboundary mining discussions. As KRBD's Jack Darrell reports, the tribes say the evidence proves they've had a historical presence along the Yunuk River, which runs through the border.
Southeast Alaska tribes have long demanded a seat at the table in how Canada manages mining projects that affect lands and waters across its border. On January 30th, a coalition of the Haida, Tlingit, and Tsimshian tribal governments submitted testimonial evidence to protect the Yunuk River, one of their river watersheds. The tribal group fears the watershed could be damaged by a proposed open-pit gold mine on the other side of the border. The coalition is called the Southeast Alaska Indigenous Transboundary Commission and represents 15 tribes and tribal groups in Alaska and Canada. Guy Archibald is its executive director.
The border that transects these transboundary rivers is a completely false construct. Nothing in nature respects that line on the map. The water, the salmon, the people, the wildlife, nothing respects that. What happens in the upper reaches of these transboundary rivers will impact our tribes, our communities, and our tribal citizens.
The evidence submitted by the commission, which includes personal testimony from tribal members of Metlakatla and other communities in the watershed, is meant to demonstrate the Tlingit people's historic presence along the Yunuk River. The river, northeast of Ketchikan, is an established wild salmon habitat and holds cultural significance to Alaska Natives. And the tribal governments say it's under threat from the SK Creek Mine, a silver and gold mining project proposed upriver in British Columbia. Essentially, what the tribes are alleging is that unregulated mining across the border in Canada is conflicting with the tribe's obligation to protect traditional lands for future generations. Taja Wallis Thatita Wagner, a member of the Wolf Clan in Metlakatla, testified that she grew up harvesting hooligan, king salmon, and moose on the Yanuk and plans to protect that cultural right.
I would really love to see for us to do another community harvest on that river again and see those bright smiles on everyone's faces one more time and to bring that hooligan to our elders. That is what I would really love to see happen in the future, and I hope to be able to see that for future generations to come.
Skeena Resources Limited, the Vancouver-based mining company in charge of the mining proposal, didn't respond to repeated requests for comment. Earth Justice, the organization representing the Tribal Commission, has also brought a case against the Canadian government alleging that their refusal to consult with Alaska Native tribes on large-scale mining developments is an international human rights violation. The claim was recently recognized by the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights. Earth Justice attorney Ramin Pajan says the rights of the land's original inhabitants precede the boundaries that divided the Yanuk River.
And this wasn't like a new right. I mean, these went back millennia. And what we're doing here is essentially the same. I mean, these are rights go back millennia, and the ownership of the Yanuk River and the territory and the use of that river as integral to their culture, to their subsistence, that goes back thousands of years, much before these borders were in place.
Pajan says the goal is to capitalize on recent Canadian legal precedent to get the country to consult with Alaska tribes properly, the way they would for tribes protected under the Constitution in Canada. If they're successful, it would be the first time in history that a U.S.-based tribe is granted participating Indigenous nation status in Canada. The country has never legally recognized U.S.-based Indigenous peoples as stakeholders in the country's policy decisions. In Ketchikan, with reporting help from Shelby Herbert in Petersburg, I'm Jack Darrell.
Brent Sass won the Yukon Quest 300 yesterday. It's his sixth win in the Yukon Quest race, and as KUAC's Dan Bross reports, the dominating performance has him optimistic about next month's Iditarod.
Brent Sass crossed the Quest 300 finish line in Central shortly before 10 Monday morning. Sass completed the race in just under 2 days without dropping a dog.
I mean, they're tired. They just ran 300 miles in 47 hours or whatever, but they put, I mean, I had 14 dogs pulling hard the whole way, so it's all you can ask for.
The weather for this year's Yukon Quest has been on the cold side with lows in the minus 30s to 50s, but Sass says it didn't affect him too much.
I never really got cold. I froze my finger once, but I stayed warm the whole time. I did a lot of kicking and ski pulling and mainly just keep myself warm. These guys had plenty of power.
Sass highlights leaders Slater and Ace.
Ace is the apprentice to Slater. Slater's an 8-year-old. He's like my main man, and Ace is the up-and-coming superstar. So he just led. Yeah, they both led the whole way. It was awesome.
Sass maximized the dog's power with a new super light sled.
Literally the first run I did was when I left the start chute, so I had never even test drove it. It came fresh off the plane from Austria 2 days ago, so it's been great.
Sass says the Quest performance bodes well for next month's Iditarod.
My confidence level has went up quite a bit in the last, 48 hours, and yeah, having all 14 of them here, and yeah, I'm real excited about it.
Second-place musher Eddie Burke arrived late Monday afternoon, followed by Josie Teer in third place. On the Yukon Quest Trail in Central, I'm Dan Bross.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 33 degrees and cloudy. Tonight is expected to be patchy fog with a low of 22 degrees. Tomorrow and Thursday look like they'll be partly sunny with highs of 33 and 26 degrees, respectively. Friday, the snow might return, with temperatures around 30 degrees. You are listening to KTOO.